It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, hanging out at Hooters, one of our favorite locations, guys. Mall of Georgia. We're going to be here not only today, next Tuesday, next Thursday, and then a few days the following week for all the open practices. So stay tuned, and we'll get you updated on how many days we're going to be out here. But we'd love to get a chance. If you can't come out every day, we'd love to see you. But if not, you can pick a day and come through.
And not that we would think you would actually be listening to our show right now and then get to your calendar and get out the Sharpie. But next Tuesday and Thursday, to your point.
Please do.
So join the party, pal. I mean, these guys, look, I don't know what kind of sales job they have, Carl. I don't know what these guys do for a living. They just put their shh. So, again, as far as their boss knows, they're on a sales call and hey, hire as we like to say. You know? I'm up. Oh, I got to go to Tacoa. I got that thing with the guy, the Penske account.
Tacoa, you won't have any phone service up there.
Exactly.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, man, if you were just tuning in, today was a fun first day for the Atlanta Falcons. We had a chance to visit with Michael Penix Jr. If you missed the interview, we'll replay it for you later in the show. All the interviews that you might have missed throughout the course of the day, online at Odyssey.com. Raheem Morris coming up here in about 10 minutes with our own Andy and Randy. Right after practice, Rod jumped on with those guys and was talking about day one. And it's a building process, guys.
Right.
I mean, like, just like you guys. I mean, Mike and I, we want to get to the season. If we could play tomorrow, game one, yeah, I mean, would be all for
it. It's funny because you were joking around with me yesterday, like, how hype are you going to be? And I was like, you know, they're going to be in helmets and shirts. But I tell you what, they went hard today, as hard as you could go.
They did.
You know, there's still contact, even though you're not wearing pads or anything. But there was a level of intensity in the 11-on-11, which, again, you don't want to, you know, start reading into things and go, I think this season – I'm starting to feel pretty good about this. No, you look at it and you say, you know, is the energy level more intense than maybe it was last year? I don't know. To the naked eye, a little bit. A little bit.
I think so, too. Hey, you're not going to make fun of me, are you? Because I went up, you know, the bartender, she's been here for years.
Yeah, she's still married to that guy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know.
But so I went up and I said, they got all these new drinks here at Hooters.
They got a whole new menu at Hooters.
It's incredible. So I went up and I said to her, what's this summer crush? And she just made me, because I wanted an energy drink, because it's been already a long day, and I was like, give me a summer crush. So, Mike, it's got, I'm looking here, Grey Goose, strawberry puree,
nice.
Pineapple, lime, and Red Bull.
Hey, now.
Yellow edition. I didn't know what this would taste like.
How's it taste, man?
It's delicious.
Looks pretty good.
It's pretty damn good. So I'm just saying, I was like, you're not going to make fun of me, are you? Because they got a bunch of new beers
on tap as well. Tight-looking beverage right there, man.
Yeah, it's good. Like, I just wanted the energy drink, but she was like, I've got something better.
So we're hanging out. We call it the Taj Mahooters. It was funny. I was talking to some of the folks in the media, and I said, if you hadn't been, this was their model right before COVID. They started building some of these around the country. These are the big, high-ceiling, glass-enclosed windows, ceiling-to-floor glass. It's just a different kind of Hooters with a big, you know, O-shaped center bar, and that's why we call it the Taj Mahal Hooters. It really is the best Hooters in Georgia, so come on down and join the party.
All right.
At Mall of Georgia.
I'm with you, man. Raheem Morris is on the way, but right now we got to get to 4th and 1. First and foremost, guys, the update on Justin Fields. If you are just tuning in today, he sustained a dislocated toe on his right foot. He is listed as day-to-day, but the Jets were scared out of their blank, Mike, when he gets in a cart this morning and they're carting him off, and everybody's like,
right.
It's day one. What are we doing?
I think somebody had to give Greenberg CPR on the set of ESPN. You know, I mean, it's like, I went to high school. Half my friends are Jets or Giants fans. And it's funny because here I am in Atlanta at practice, and somehow my friends think I'm clairvoyant, that I'm dialed in
asking you?
To Rich Cimini from, like, the ESPN Jets report. Like, what do you know? I go, oh, man. So just to mess with my buddy Rick, I go, doesn't look good. But anyway, it's a toe, and how long is that going to take? I will say this, though. There was certainly a lot of chatter amongst us and, you know, friends of ours in the media here in Atlanta about, Is this a significant injury where the Jets would then be calling the Falcons? No, it's not that. But this is the kind of thing where we're seeing more and more injuries across the board in all sports.
Yeah.
More so, I think, the NBA was so much more acute in the playoffs this year. But you do have a feeling that maybe it's not that million-to-one shot that somebody has a starting quarterback go down and we're able to move Kirk Cousins, who looked good today.
No doubt. So for Fields, here's the good news, and good news for the Jets. And look, he's an Atlanta boy, man. We want him to do well. Maybe this is another opportunity for him, but he avoids a serious injury and significant missed time because he's listed as day-to-day. They can rest him, Mike. He's not going to miss any games, I don't believe. Meanwhile, Dave Canales talking about this is going to be a very competitive team. You guys know who Dave Canales is, right? He runs the Carolina Panthers.
A lot of guys at the bar, we were talking earlier about games we got to get back. They thought that Bryce Young was kind of in his – well, maybe it is – maybe showing off a little bit. Maybe a little bit.
At the end?
A little bit of extra little Cam Newton type juice near the end of that game. If you were sitting low in like the 100 section, Bryce Young was popping off at the end of that game. And look, I give the guy credit because he took it in the cods. He lost the starting job. Eventually, he earned it back. And Lord knows we made him look like Joe Montana in that game. But some Falcon fans here at the bar feel like, you know, we got some unfinished business with those guys.
I agree. But here's the thing. Dave Canales didn't just say we're going to be competitive. He went on to say, I don't think people are going to want to play us. Okay, coach, slow down. And then he said, I'm saying this because of the type of style of football that we will play. I expect that.
Is there something in the water in Charlotte between him and Rhett Lashley? I mean, it's like, hey, slow your roll. Bring it down a notch. But look. I think players take on the personality of their coach
and
the vibe. And if he's saying, look, we've been the doormat for a couple of years, and now we feel like we've turned the corner. They did have, I think, a pretty good draft. I think they supplemented that in free agency. I mean, that's why when you and I say the Saints will be terrible, but the other two teams in this division other than us are pretty good.
They're coming. I just feel like...
You think they're a 7-win team? They humiliated us.
No, they did.
They embarrassed us in the last week of the season.
Mike, and we still had playoff hopes. That was the thing.
Right. Outside shot.
Yeah.
We needed some help, but that kind of put the nail in the coffin. But to have our quarterback throw for over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, and lose a game to Carolina at home?
Yeah.
That was a testament to just how bad our secondary and our pass rush was.
What do you make of Tua Tagovailoa and Tyreek Hill? Are they going to ever be what Mahomes and Tyreek Hill were?
Well, remember Tyreek, when he first got to Miami, said, of all the quarterbacks I've played with, nobody throws a better, more accurate deep ball than Tua Tagovailoa. So he has been out there trying to bang the drum for him. And Tyreek, by the way, we didn't get to this earlier in the week with everything else going on. Tyreek did speak with the media and did say he was selfish at times, did kind of own some of the mistakes that he made down the stretch, whether it was on the field or comments or sulking. So he did kind of walk that back for what it's worth.
Yeah, Tua says that Tyreek is working to regain the trust of his teammates. Mike, apparently he ticked off a lot of his teammates in the way that he acted, specifically at the end of the season, which he removed himself from the final game, if you forgot, and basically took himself out of the final regular season game. And his teammates are sitting out there like, yo, we're out here playing, bro. You just going to take yourself out of a game? So Tua is now saying Tyreek is working hard to regain that trust. I don't know, man. I just feel like whatever we thought that was going to be, like one of the most dynamic quarterback wide receiver duos, it just hasn't necessarily panned out to be that way.
And like I said, Tariq, like at the end of the day, all wide receivers in their core are, okay, not all, 90%. Day-Day's giving the look. Okay, 75%.
75.
You know, screw that. 90% of wide receivers are divas.
Okay.
You know, Drake London is not a diva.
No.
Drake's got that dog in him. I think that, you know, Ray McLeod's got that because he's always had to overachieve his whole career. Same goes for Darnell Mooney, you know, who doesn't feel like he gets the respect maybe he deserves. But a lot of these guys are just high-maintenance guys, and Tariq basically quit on his team at times last year.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate him taking himself out of the game at the end of the year.
Hey, speaking of quitting, we talked earlier about Ben Johnson pulling Caleb Williams off the field in Chicago. Mm-hmm. His old boss, Dan Campbell, the other reason for slowing down practice, he said, to get the guys off the field. Too many scraps at Lions practice today.
Oh.
Apparently, Amon St. Brown... went at it with Brian Branch, safety for the Lions.
Both good players.
Apparently went at it several times, according to The Athletic. And eventually Dan Campbell says, that's it. Pull on the plug. And so practice, again, cut short. There was some scuffling yesterday up in Motown.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Branch is a player, Alabama.
Right.
And obviously Amara St. Brown is one of the highest paid wide receivers in the league now. That's interesting. That team's competitive. We know that. They got some spice to them. But, you know, again, I'm curious to see what he's going to do without his two coordinators. But is that good or bad? Because Ra was asked about that today before practice started. Not that there were any scraps, but he said, how are you going to handle those situations? He's like, look, we got to understand how if you do that stuff out here, it can hurt you in a game. Right? Guy takes a shot at you, Mike. The second guy always gets caught.
Right.
They throw the flag, 15 yards, you kill a drive, and now we lose a game. Like, you just have to be smarter than that. So he was saying it's something you definitely talk to the guys about, but you do want them to have a competitive edge. But there's a line there. You can't just let guys be throwing down at practice every day.
John Morton, by the way, is the new OC for the Lions, replacing Ben Johnson. Tashard Choice, by the way, kind of cool to see. For those who remember Tashard Choice at Tech back in the day, he's a running backs coach for the Lions.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, man, look, they're trying to replace two of the best coordinators who both got head jobs. One, Aaron Glenn in New York, and obviously Ben right. Johnson in Chicago. Broncos quarterback.
Kelvin Shepard, if you know the Lions, he's the new DC.
Okay, yeah, he took over for AG. Right. Broncos quarterback Bo Nix, by the way, said he met with Drew Brees. Remember Brees and Peyton, Sean Payton?
Right.
Super tight. Won a Super Bowl. But he said, I met with Brees to learn and to do whatever I needed to do to get better. And if you thought Bo Nix was a buster, like, oh, and listen, we had our doubts, right? At Auburn, right. Remember, he's at Auburn, then he transfers, goes to Oregon, has a great year. And now you feel like, okay, maybe he might be one of the better quarterbacks in this class. But I got to tell you something. If Penix lives up to it, and Bo Nix is a playoff team, and Jaden Daniels has a playoff team, and Caleb Williams has, that class all of a sudden starts to look a lot different.
Right.
Right? From just a couple of years
ago. I mean,
ago.
Bo Nix, I think, you know, he feels he's still scratching the surface. They've got a great defense in Denver.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the next guy up, and the one we haven't seen yet, will be who we'll see in week two is J.J. McCarthy. With Minnesota, we still haven't seen. He was having a great preseason, threw for a number of touchdowns, and then, of course, he got hurt. Hey, the Eagles, another team that's looking, we're looking up at in the NFC, reports Wednesday at the Eagles camp, say former Georgia Bulldog Jordan Davis is a trim 330 pounds. He is down 26 pounds from what he was last year. So this is a dude now who's going to be a wrecking machine for already dominant defense, but they want him to get a little bit lighter, and he did. They picked up his fifth-year option for 26, so he's not in a contract year, but he is coming lean and mean.
I'm fearful for anybody that's got to face that dude. He was already a beast, Mike. You're telling me right. he's more in shape than before?
He's ripped. He's ready. Uh-oh. The bar is making a noise in the background. Look who just rolled in. It is Lil' Cam. Oh, Lil' Cam Newton and his son. We feel that Georgia D-Fax should take his child away from him for subjecting him to being a Carolina Panthers fan. But now he's got to chirp, Carl, because Carolina embarrassed us in the final week of the season at Mercedes-Benz.
Falcon fans, boo. Let's boo this guy.
Boo this guy.
Boo. Let's boo him out of here.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on, man.
Lil' Cam. What's up, Lil' Cam? By the way, he's going to do a podcast in the corner and crap on Jalen Hurts and every other quarterback that Cam Newton is still mad about. That'll be coming up later today.
See, we bring people together. This is good.
That's
though.
What we do.
I'm glad you showed
What's
up.
What's up,
little man? You good?
How you doing, brother?
Good to see you. I'm glad he showed up. Look at it, he's got his Cam Newton jersey on too. I mean, you really want to come in here like that, don't you?
And we just got word from the bar. Jerome is not going to make it. Jerome, the Alabama fan, apparently he could not get a guy to fill in at the recycling plant.
Okay, that's not true. Let's not kill Jerome. He had a family.
Look, he's got to separate the plastics from the metal.
That is not true.
So Jerome, the Alabama fan, will not be here at least today. Maybe we'll see him Tuesday.
As much as I want to take his money again this year, he had a family event, and he was saying, guys, yes. I really want to be there.
The family event was somebody to drive him to his job at the recycling center.
Hey, man, coming up, Raheem Morris, sat down with Andy and Randy. You'll hear it next. And Bell just met Leslie and her son, big Dukes and Bell listeners, as they she said, look, I'm a teacher, I get you guys in the car on the way home. Her son's like, every day after school we listen to you guys.
That's good parenting right there.
So Leslie, thank you guys. I don't know if she can hear me. Is this mic on? It is. I want to give you a chance right now before we hear from Coach Raheem Morris to give you a chance to win a family four pack of tickets to Margaritaville Lanier Islands Water Park August 1st.
Right.
Mike and I are going to be up there, and as we
you
said,
wear a tank top.
Whatever you want, bro. You want to put my gold chain on? My Dookie
Rope? What you want? I think we should go old. Like, let's dress like we were in high school. I'm going to break out some Zubas. Let's go to town, man.
It's the final Friday of 2025 where no football is going to be played. So we're celebrating, man. We're going to have a party up at Margaritaville, Lanier Islands, and we want you to be a part of it. That's why we're giving you these tickets. So 404-726-0929, caller number 9. You're going to win a family four-pack. Tickets provided by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands Water Park. Tickets on sale at MargaritavilleResorts.com. So, again, August 1st. Not this Friday, but the following Friday
right.
we'll be up there. But you got a chance to come hang out with us. All right.
And that's such a cool scene, too, because we have a lot of families, kind of like last, you know, chance to really kind of throw down before kids are back in school.
Yeah, last week.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Can you bring your own? I don't know if you can bring. Can you bring your own cooler in there, Mike? Not sure?
Well, I don't know about. Well, we could. Well, technically, we're on the beach. I guess we could try.
I'm just saying.
But I think we all bring bathing suits, and during commercial breaks, we all take a dip.
Just go to jump in?
And go crazy.
All right.
I'll get you some water wings, Day-Day. Don't worry, man.
Some water wings. Hey, man, Raheem Morris stopped by the Midday Show with Andy and Randy right after practice today. And the fellas sat down with Coach. The first thing they asked him is, what's it like to be back at camp?
First day of school, we got the fans back, which is crazy, which is important. You know, last year it was a lonely camp out here by itself, but, like, to get the guys back, get the excitement out, the energy, get you guys back out of here in the broadcast, you know, it is absolutely outstanding. I got Andy back over here. We're ready to go, man.
Ready to go. Happy to be here. Happy that all the fans are here, too. I probably ask you this every year, but every year is a little bit different. Does the first day of camp change, the feeling around the first day of camp change as you progress in your career?
No, man. It's hard to say it changes. You know, this is always a really good time of the year. It's always a really good time to get your team back out there and let those guys get ready to go. And then when they get out in practice and you see them moving around fast, see them move around quickly, be able to get back, make some corrections, get all the stuff you want to get done, and make sure you can throw a great camp, man. It always feels the same, that same energy, that same juice, that same sense of urgency for the guys that are ready to go out there and play.
What was the message to your team last night? Because usually you have a meeting for the first day of camp, that night meeting when get everybody in and all those things. What was that meeting like?
As you know, Randy, last night is the meeting that the players don't necessarily love.
Yes.
Right? It's the one you go through all of the stuff you got to go through as far as – you know, the docs, your equipment, your coaches, your everything, the quick install so we can get ready to go out there in the grass the next day and to be able to do those things. But realistically for us, it was about us, how are we going to move and, like, doing things what we want to do and not necessarily have to tell anybody about it, right? Let's be able to go out here and be able to get our guys going. Let's go out here. Let's execute. Let's be the best versions of ourselves so we can attack this season.
Falcons head coach Raheem Morris joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, live from Flowery Branch, first day at training camp. We're going to talk to a bunch of your players throughout the course of camp. We're probably going to ask each of them, what did you do this offseason to try to improve, to try to make sure this season's your best and all that? What does a coach do in an offseason to try to get better from where he was to where he's trying to go to?
You always start with self-evaluation. You always start with, you know, looking at some other people, what they did really well. Go steal some really good ideas. There's a lot of really great coaches in this league. There's a lot of great players in this league. And you can go study just about anything you want. You know, obviously, there's always great room for self-improvement. You know, whatever you do for your health, for your body, for your mind, for your mental state, for all the things that's really important to what we do as an athlete, what we do as coaches, and what we do as an organization, I think is some of the most important things you do. I happen to have some of the great leadership that I have. When you're talking about Arthur Blank, being a lean on his experience, being a lean on Terry's experience, Ryan Pace, Kyle Smith, all of those guys' experiences you can lean on, different things, different aspects of life, different walks and ways to do about your business. I just think are always things that you can really help and be helpful for. And you take your time as you go through the offseason, you just go through those things and you go through that checklist every year to make sure you can come back a better version of yourself.
You have a young quarterback. We saw him play the last three games, and obviously comes into this offseason number one guy. What do you hope you learn from him this summer? Because obviously it's his job, and he is the leader of this football team, but what do you need to see from him day by day as we get ready for the season?
He's really started it already. You know, it's just the leadership and the ownership of the offense and getting these guys out there and getting together, and his voice becoming bigger, right? His voice is becoming bigger every time he steps in that huddle. His voice gets bigger every time he makes a correction to a wide out, a running back, the O-line, a protection, whatever it is. Every time he talks to Zach, every time he talks to me, every time he communicates situational ball, like we're able to display there at the end of practice in the Mamba period. You know, you just love the fact of watching him grow and develop. And still, every single time, you're so impressed with the poise of the young man. That's just outstanding.
What do you think fans are going to see from him, Penix specifically, that they got the three-game sample set. You got a chance to see him a little bit, but still pretty unfamiliar with what he is. What do you think fans are going to see from him that they don't know yet?
I think, Andy, these guys got a chance to see it today. They got a chance to see him unleash a big arm and throwing it downfield and really stretching the field. You know, you're talking about a guy that can throw every level of the field, every layer of the field, and be able to get that up. You know, but the important part for him is focus on his completion percentage to make sure we can make the layups, to make sure we can keep the drives going and go down the field. But as you know, man, he can unlock it. He can uncoil. And when he has the ability to do that, we got to be able to come down with some of them big shots down the field.
I want to talk about your defense because the stalwart is gone. It's been here forever. A lot of new guys, a lot of names that nobody knows yet. Can you tell us a little bit more about the D-line? Well, obviously, Onyemata was here a couple years, but
sure.
All the other guys seem to be a little bit unknown.
You know, we're talking about some of the unknowns, but you got to talk about some of the knowns first. DeJesse Bates of the world, like a consummate leader in this league, a consummate leader on our team, a pro, all-time, one of those guys that just makes plays no matter what. And then a guy that's really grown up here in A.J. Terrell and the leadership that he brings, the presence, all the stuff that he has. And then you got to go to Kane Ellis, the steady improvement throughout his career, starting as a part-time player, really getting here and flourishing as as a linebacker. Last year, Flanders is a pass rusher and a rush guy for us, and having the ability to do some of those things. And then you throw in a bunch of young guys, right? And now you add that second-year class, that first-year class, and it's exciting. You get a chance to see Brandon Trice today and Rook really get out there and go out there and Dorless and some of those guys kind of add to the party. Before we even mentioned the Georgia Bulldog and Jalen, and you're talking about Pierce, and then you're talking about some of the guys that we added in the secondary with Watts. Like, it is an exciting thing on defense. Talking about young, fast, hungry, which I've been around before and had a lot of success with, and I am really excited to see what Jeff Olbrich, our defensive staff, can actually pull out and go out there and do some really good things with them.
How many rookies do you, like, legitimately expect to be contributors on defense this year?
I would say all the guys we drafted, for sure. You know, and there's always some guys that can definitely come out there and shock you. You know, Billy Bowman, and when you're talking about Watt, talking about some of the productive, like, whatever you want to call them, secondary players. What are you talking about? Stars? What are you talking about? You know, on the back end at the safety position. Those guys have been big-time contributors in college football and getting the ball back. And that's something that we got to improve in our defense as well as our pass rush. I hope we address that within the first two rounds. And as Steven started last year, we were talking about the guys we just mentioned, and the Trice and the Rooks and the Doris. Right. Like, those are the things that you want to get going. You know, obviously adding a veteran like Flo really helps you with some of that presence that you lost from a guy like Grady, a guy that's been able to go out here, another Georgia Bulldog, a guy that's been able to get up, have a lot of production in his league, won a Super Bowl with this young man. He comes in here, he brings us a certain tempo to practice, he brings a certain tempo to the game, he brings a different edge. I think all of those things are really important when you talk about bonding these guys together on defense.
I saw a couple of guys just starting a PP, middle linebacker Trey Anderson. Is it just precautionary? Is something you're going to like put him in like slowly as the camp goes along?
Yeah, Troy's kind of one of those guys who kind of knew where we're going to be. We're going to start off on the pup list and get him going. But he is absolutely on schedule and he's ready to go. And you got to get out that heat.
I know, man. I'm in training camp. I did my time in the Sunday training camp.
We got to move your tent back.
No, when you leave, I'm sitting over there.
Sorry, but Troy, he's right on schedule. You know, starting him on pup, seeing where that goes, let that play out the situation. You know, but we got some guys back there right now in that linebacker room. You know, JD, we got a taste of last year. He gave us some real production when he got a chance to go out there and play. You know, getting him back healthy is a big critical part for us. Going out and get Diablo, who's been really impressive in training camp and the offseason program and the things that we did there. And then obviously we mentioned Caden Ellis before.
Maybe this is a two-parter just with how Kyle's doing now and that being what leads to the answer to the question, but what's the key to Kyle Pitts being his most productive self?
I think it's just us putting our best efforts together. When I say us, it's about Kyle, and it's about really an organizational approach to try to get the best version of Kyle, right? And then we're trying to do that right now. I think I love his attitude. I love how he's come back. I mean, you got to be honest, man. Let's sit here and be one, right? It's tough. You're going through trade rumors. You're going through the production fight and trying to get it back from what you did as a freshman or rookie, excuse me. You're trying to move to that needle again, right? Like, we see it. He has the talent. He has the explosion. He has the it factor. We got to mentally get it all together and bring that to the field. And hopefully this is the year that we can unlock it. And what a year would it be for him to unlock that.
How do you get the best out of Bijan by not just put all it on right now? Because, you know, he's a bell cow. I remember we had Joe on a couple years. Last year you were talking about how sometimes you got to slow him down. How do you get – because he knows how to get – he's a professional, Rob. But, like, taking some reps off of him so he can be as fresh as possible.
You know, we were talking about this the other day and we were joking about it. But Tyler Allgeier allows you to do that, right? Tyler Allgeier allows you to unlock a different force to your offense. It allows you to take a little bit off of Bijan. You can play those guys together. You know, I can't think of two better friends in our football team than that room and that team and those guys and, like, what they do together. So, like, using those two guys and being able to utilize guys sometimes together, sometimes opposite, sometimes playing off each other, sometimes situationally, I think it's, like, a big key for us and a big advantage for us to be able to go out there and get it done. You know, Bijan is extremely special. Like, you know, he takes off load off the receivers because of what he can do out the backfield. He takes loads off the running backs, so what he do in the backfield. And then the biggest shock to me keeping coming here was his protection. Like,
yes.
No idea, no clue that he was able to stick his face on people and be able to put people down the way he is in the protection game, and that is a really important thing and a really important trait.
Falcons head coach Raheem Morris joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. First day of training camp, live from Flowery Branch. How should we think about or analyze Kirk Cousins' role? Obviously, he's the backup quarterback. Is it as simple as he's what Penix was last year, or is it more complicated than that?
You know, it's different. You know, you got a guy that's played a lot of football in this league, a guy that's going to sit there and be a consummate pro. And I think it's a little bit bigger outside our building than it is inside the building. You know, when you're talking about inside the building, you're talking about a guy that's going to come to work, he's going to do exactly what he's going to do, he's going to be prepared, he's going to practice the right way, do all the right things, right? Outside of the building, it has a little bit more noise because of how the situation had panned out, right? He was an expected starter, a guy that could come in and play. It didn't play out that way, right? You got to play the best player on the football field at all times, and that's what we're doing. Right now, Michael's the hot man. Right now, Michael's the guy. Right now, he's doing what he's supposed to do, and he's taking over as our number one. And we drafted him to be that. And I'm really excited about our guy. I'm really excited about what he can do and who he is as a player.
Every year, Rod, there's somebody who surprised you. And usually, I know in my time, there's always that unrestricted free agent. Now,
sure.
They've been here this spring and everything, going through all the offseason conditioning. Do you kind of have a sink like, this guy right here, I know we didn't draft him, he was undrafted, but he might be able to have an opportunity to be on the 53.
Coaches are always worried to talk about that.
Yeah.
Particularly at this time of the year, right? You know, but there's a couple, right? We had a real niche in the offseason after the draft. We wanted to go and attack some people and get some really good players and some really good players to come join this football team. That hints going to go out and get a guy like Kobe Bryant, what we thought would be drafted. Going to get a Verdon, who we thought would be drafted from Iowa State. Going out there getting a Nash, who was the Biletnikoff winner and led the league in receiving. So, like, I want to let these guys go out there and play it out. But it's an exciting young undrafted free agents along with this rookie class that really fires you up. And, like, to add it to some of these guys and to add them to those rooms to see if they can develop their roles and find their way, it just fires you up as a coach, fires you up as a fan base and everything else.
We appreciate the time, Coach.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Great stuff, as always.
Hey, you get your butt over here. I
am.
Get him over here sweating, man.
We'll get him in the shade.
You know, we got to move his seat.
Yeah. We're fast in a hurry.
All right, let's hear it for Coach. Head Coach Raheem Morris, nice enough to hang out with us here on the first day of training camp live at Flowery Branch. Right off the bat, how do you like that?
From Andy, good stuff from Andy and Randy with Ra and talking about Kyle Pitts and all the things. Look, I know everybody wants to judge Raheem on last year and the gaffes and things that happened.
Right.
He hits another season to prove it. He's back. And, Mike, this is the thing we're watching, right? We need improvement in all areas.
Right. Every area needs improvement. Obviously, edge rush, the secondary. We'll talk more about the skill positions, which we feel strong about. But coaches can't cost you a game either.
All right, man. Coming up, Yeah Man, No Man's on the way. We're live at Hooters. This is our hangout, man. Come through. We're meeting so many new listeners, so many familiar faces, and so many new people that are new to the show and they're saying, hey, I want to come hang out with you guys. You are more than welcome. Hooters Mall of Georgia location. It's Dukes and Bell. Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Hanging out, man. It is funny. Mike always says there's a show within the show that's going on at the bar. What's happening over here right now?
We've got a spirited debate. Let's crank up the mics. We got our guys, our crew, because when the bar opened up, because we had a power shortage over here on this side of the mall, our guys came in all wearing Falcons gear, and then Lil Cam or Cam Newton Jr. came busted in. And I said, you know, it's funny. When we lost the last game of the season, I said to Carl that Monday, I said, you realize we'll be at Hooters Mall of Georgia in our residency, and Cam Newton Jr. is going to bust in and do exactly what he's doing with that very punchable face. Not that I'm telling anybody to punch him, but a wonderful child who, through no fault of his own, has been raised in a Panthers household. But our guys are abusing him like a government mule right now.
Yes, they are.
I heard one guy, I walked by the bar because we're making rounds talking to our listeners, and a guy goes, Canales won't even be there in 2 years. I'm like, okay.
Here's my issue with him. I'll be honest with you guys. The only time I didn't hear from him all season last year.
Right.
Bryce Young got benched. He didn't say, you know who I'm talking about. He didn't say anything. He was silent. As soon as Bryce did something last year, all of a sudden I get a tweet. Yeah, see Dukes, you see how good he is. That's the only time I ever hear from you. So I don't even know what to say about you right now.
I mean, you live, I get it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where you came from, how somehow you got this Carolina thing. But yeah, Cam, he's doing the Cam Newton Superman thing. That's just, again, we're not going to, Carl, ever promote physical violence. But if ever there was a reason to get punched, it's the Cam Newton Superman shirt thing.
Yeah. Hey, man, we're here at Hooters. Whoa.
Give it up.
I told you he wasn't working.
Well, you thought Jerome was doing a double at the recycling plant, but Jerome apparently is in with his degree in garbage management from Alabama, and he is in the bar.
Jerome in Rome.
Hey, what's up, Playboy?
Come on, Rome. Come on.
He's got his Alabama national champion hat. Yeah, that's right. That hat's so old Obama was president.
That's the last time they did anything. Hey, man, we're having fun. Jerome is a regular. He is a part of the show. And it's good. We didn't think we'd see him today, so it's good to have you here, man. Now we can really get this thing started now with Alabama
here. Time for Carl to make some money.
Oh, Alabama!
And no, Jerome, I'm not betting the Florida State game. That's a foregone conclusion. I want no part of that.
You get my money out?
Yeah.
He's paying up?
Oh, I was going to say.
You know
if,
what?
If Alabama gives me 24 points, I'll take that. About. There you go. Jerome, you know what? Like a Lannister on a Game of Thrones, he pays his debts, Carl.
He does pay his debts. All right, man, come on through. We're hanging out till 6. We got to get to Yeah Man, No Man.
All right, guys, we are here, Hooters, Taj Mahooters. I think I came and actually hung out with you guys briefly last year.
It's crazy, right?
So this is, yeah.
It's
this
not.
Is,
it's
this
crazy.
This is awesome. So shout out to all the listeners in the building. So first off, man, I want to give a Yeah Man shout out to Southwest DeKalb alum and now Auburn wide receiver Sam Turner. He, a bunch of other alum, they've partnered with the Quincy Carter Foundation, and they're going to have a back-to-school bash this Sunday at Southwest DeKalb. So
nice.
Going out there, if you're on that side of town, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., free haircuts.
Okay.
Book school supplies, things of that nature.
Getting the kids ready, man.
Getting the kids. It's that time.
That's what's up.
It's that time. All right, man, this one's an easy one, man. I was talking to Mike Conti when we got here, and I was just like, man, I kind of forgot what this felt like. Yeah, man, no, man, you forgot what the feel of fans at training camp was like after getting out there today.
100%. I think Carl and I, one of the first things we noticed was just how cool the vibe was. Because remember, we had, of course, the COVID year where there's nothing going on. And then we did have some fans. And then last year, because of the capital improvements, the Falcons added a huge weight room. They've added a ton of it's funny, talking to some fans today, crossing the road to get back to the parking lot, said, wow, I can't believe how much stuff has been added. But I think players feed off the energy. Anytime there's a deep throw, an ooh or an ah, and getting the cheers and getting the energy, just from our standpoint, I loved it.
I did too. And I think it also shows there's real interest in our team. It's one thing for us to say, yeah, we think they're going to be good and we think this and that. It's another thing when fans come out and they see it for themselves, right? And that was the part we missed last year. Mike and I are trying to describe some of this stuff,
right,
and who's playing well and who we thought. And there's a buildup. But I think if you see it for yourself before the season gets started, just a little bit. I know everybody's not going to make a practice. But I do think it adds to the intensity. And, yeah, man, I mean, it's great. I think when NFL Network is there Saturday and our buddy Steve Weiss, watch it on NFL Network and see how many people are up there and what that vibe feels like. It's just different when the fans are able to be there.
And if you are coming Saturday, give yourself some time because they have to allow for the golf carts that are taking folks from the parking lot to the facility.
Correct.
Save you some shoe leather.
Right.
So get there early because it was popping. I rolled in here about 9:30 and it was on.
Yeah, it was nice. It was great to see. Like I said, I completely forgot what that feeling felt like with everyone out there. All right, CBS catching a lot of heat for the cancellation of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
Now, there's all kinds of various speculations as to why.
Right.
We won't really get into all of that kind of stuff in regards to why the network pulled the plug. But, Yeah Man, No Man, late night talk shows still matter?
I'm going to say no, man, unless you're into the political bent, because Fox has programming. Colbert was, you know, giving you that viewpoint. I know that, Jimmy Kimmel does go down that road. Jimmy Fallon basically just does stuff that's fun and creates memes and gets on TikTok. But, if you grew up with Johnny Carson or even Arsenio Hall, for that matter,
right,
there was an art form and Letterman took it to another level. And this just none of these guys do it for me. So I'm not trying to be poo-pooing it. I've just not watched late-night TV in years.
Mike, I respect what they do.
Right.
But I agree with you. Look, first of all, it's not easy. I think everybody thinks these late-night shows are easy. That's why we do love and respect. And look, if you're of a certain age, I didn't see Carson at his prime. A lot of stuff,
right,
I saw from Carson. My parents watched that stuff because that's what people did.
Right.
Right. And you talk about the limited amount of programming and content there was.
Right.
Late night was a big deal.
There were 13 channels, three of those June late night. There was
a place for it. And
right,
even when cable came in, and you're talking about the early 80s, there was a place for it. And what the networks realized, and this is just from the business side, it was cheap to produce. You could still make a lot of revenue late night, right, with advertising, which a lot. That's why Letterman made all that money, and Carson, and even these guys that are on today. But I do think with the amount of content that's out there, I just don't know how relevant it is. If you ask my daughter, she's 20, about to be 20 years old. She has no idea. She's not watching late night shows. Right. And I'm like, I see all of her friends and all of the sorority girls, and I'm like, yo, you know, are you, what are y'all watching? What they're doing? They look at me and then they do this. This is their phone.
Right.
They're not. So if they watch a clip and Kimmel makes a joke and it's on a clip, that's one thing. But they're not vested in a show where, like, your parents may have laid in bed every night and watched. They're not doing that.
Right. Now, again, CBS will tell you, and everyone's got their own theories on it, but as Day-Day said, we'll stay in our lane, but it's got to be profitable. Right. I was blown away by how much they were losing, supposedly, reportedly, on the Colbert Show, which kind of gets you to, as you and I said last week when we got the news, does this mean that the days are not long for SNL? Right. If the production costs are that great for the networks? And as you said, Carl, they're just looking to just get...
Yeah.
That's why the reality TV and these, you know, the silly games that they do are just so cheap to produce.
Yeah. Now, I will say this, though, about Colbert. I liked what he did on The Daily Show.
Me too.
Yeah.
He dumbed it down, and it became a lesser product when he went to CBS.
Yeah.
And because the audience, they felt like, wouldn't be able to maybe relate to some of that. Like, you could be edgier. He couldn't do some of that stuff. I say that to say, the cancellation, I don't want to see anybody get – I don't want to see us get canceled.
No,
I don't want to see any show get canceled. But I just don't know if it's as relevant as it once was.
All right, last one. Let's have a little bit of fun with this one, hopefully. So if you missed it last night, the Phillies, they were holding a 5-0 lead over the Red Sox heading into the top of the fifth inning. And then things got interesting. First, with bases loaded and two outs, Rob Winsnyder pops one up behind the plate and JT Realmuto couldn't find the ball. So, what happens? Snyder gets walked. Run comes in. Then another run gets walked in. And then, he walked Duran. And then, that's a 5-2 lead now. And then, Rami Gonzalez steps up to the plate. Waka! Grand slam.
Oh, wow.
Oh, snap.
So, was it the third out that Realmuto couldn't find?
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
So they take a 6-5 lead and go on to win 9-8. Yeah, man, no, man. Even if you've checked out of the Braves season, it's still good to see the Phillies lose like this.
Make them suffer as she suffers, as we suffer. Yeah, the Phillies, they're just awful people. Look, if you grew up in Philadelphia, it's not your fault. You know, I don't know.
It's not your fault.
Years of inbreeding and just anger and I don't know. It's Baltimore with taller buildings. Either way, yeah, they're just awful people, Day-Day. So, yes, I do take a tremendous amount of pleasure in watching Philly fans suffer.
Yeah, me too. And look, there have been years where we've been really good and they've been bad, and it just feels good. But because we are in the situation we're in right now, yeah, I want to, you know what? Misery loves company, Day-Day.
Well, we're going to be looking up at them in the Mets, you know. I'm curious to see who's going to get in whatever they're looking for, who gets what they need at the trade deadline, specifically, you know, how Cohen's going to spend. You know he'll spend with the Mets.
He will.
And the Phillies always spend more than we do. I'm curious to see what they do. And, again, already rumors today, by the way, Ozuna to the Padres. That's the hottest rumor right now, Carl.
Well, let me tell you something. He'll flourish there. Because they got guys all around him.
Right, surrounded.
You're not pitching around anybody. He could really do some damage there in that lineup. And here's the deal. Wouldn't surprise me, Mike, because if that happens, and again, we don't know for sure, but the Padres are looking to try to overtake the Dodgers. They need another bat like that.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's what I got. That's your Yeah Man, No Man 4. What's today? Thursday.
Thursday,
on
baby.
Thursday, baby. Live from the Taj Mahooters at the Mall of Georgia.
All right, guys, coming up, we also have more tickets for you. Not to Margaritaville, but we're going to give you a chance to go to Premier League Soccer Summer Series. That's happening at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
AFC Bournemouth is coming to town.
Yeah, man. It's a good match. If you're into it. I mean, West Ham, United, it's a good match.
You know, I think that's West Drew Ham's team. When the Falcons played in 14, just like me finding Chelsea, I think West and Arch, the one team that was home was West Ham.
Okay,
the old Olympic Stadium.
Yeah.
So West Drew Ham is a West Ham man.
So stay tuned. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets. If you're just tuning in, pretty good first day for the Falcons. If you missed our interview with Michael Penix, you'll hear more of that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But we'll come back. We got to talk some college football. It is almost time for the Dogs to report. We'll get to that and fill you in on what you missed today at Falcons training camp next.